Welcome back to the Audio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week I chatted with a radio legend. Now, the word legend gets bandied about, but in this case, it's 100% fitting. Stephanie Hurst is a fellow of the Audio Academy and former trustee. She's been in the radio industry for over 30 years and is, in her own words, a radio nerd. She's just taken over the 4 till 7pm Saturday afternoon show on Greatest Hits Radio called Spinning the Decades, and it includes an all-request vinyl hour. In a moment, we'll hear what the new show means to Steph, but first, let's hear her opening link of the new show.
Welcome to Spinning the Decades. I'm Stephanie Hurst as we take a musical journey through the world's biggest songs from the world's greatest decades. And they are, of course, the 70s, 80s and 90s. But before we get started on show number one, I would like to pay a particular thank you to Paul Gambaccini as we recognise and celebrate the legacy of America's greatest hits, which has been on the air for over 50 years. It's not lost on me how much of an honour this is to follow in the professor of pop's footsteps. And I hope that in the weeks and months that follow, this new show continues to entertain and musically surprise you. In fact, who knows what we're going to hear after 5 o'clock as we go all vinyl and all requests. I'm so fortunate doing this new show, and I'm working with such a brilliant team, and Andy Ashton, of course, who runs Greatest Hits. I can't thank him enough for giving me this opportunity. I feel like I've won the radio lottery. This is a dream come true. I didn't see it coming. It was just, it was amazing when I got the call. But I'm also, I'm following in the footsteps of a hero. Paul Gambaccini is someone I've admired. I read Gambo's books, any books that the Professor of Pop or the Great Gambo released music books in the, when I was growing up. I bought his books, the Guinness Hit Singles book. I devoured these books and I couldn't get enough of them. To follow in the footsteps in the same time slot as Paul is a real honour. And for the listeners of that show, I still want to surprise them. I still want to give them facts about songs because I'm a radio nerd. I've studied this since I was a toddler. I'm also working with a dear friend from many years ago. We worked together in the late 90s, a guy called Chris Straw, who works on the music at Greatest Hits. So me and Chris have not worked together since the late 90s when we worked together in Sheffield at Hallam FM back in the day. I used to love going in his record library at Hallam because we'd just sit talking about music. And he's got an encyclopedic knowledge in music. So hand in hand with all of us, we want to craft this amazing show and take the audience on this journey around the world with all of these wonderful songs.
You do an hour of vinyl
yes,
as well.
Middle hour.
Requests.
The middle hour between 5 and 6 is all vinyl. So, and it's live vinyl requests. I just don't know what I'm going to play in the middle hour. I've got no idea. I put a backup kind of pile of singles together. Just in case Eddie Grant was in that, for instance, I don't want to dance. But I played Double Barrel. I thought, oh, I don't want to dance. I'll sound nice after that. So I segged that together. So for me, it's surprising as well. I don't know where we're going. And it's all audience led. And isn't that just wonderful? It's that unknown of the audience taking us where we want to go.
And I always think audiences love being involved and feeling involved. And if you can play somebody a song that they've requested, it's such a thrill. Isn't it? To hear that on the radio.
And sharing their stories. The guy that was on, who talked about the Human League.
He got it signed, didn't he?
Yeah, so he'd taken his copy of Love Action, I Believe in Love, to a Human League concert in Glasgow and put it in a freezer bag and threw it on stage.
Chucked it on the stage, didn't he?
Stood on it a lot of times.
And then, did it get broken when it got stood
I think he may have probably taken the single out. But just
the sleeve. Because I was beside myself going, oh my God, that'll just be crunched to death.
Yeah. I think he probably would have taken the single out.
Good afternoon, Stephanie.
Thank you, Neil, for getting in touch this afternoon. Regarding a song that is pretty dear to your heart, was this the very first song that you bought?
It was the first single I bought with my own money. My mum used to buy me records from department stores and stuff before that.
From Woolies.
But this would have been the first. This would have been the first sort of record I actually would have went out and bought.
And what was the song?
It was Love Action by the Human League.
Oh, from Dare, of course. And then you went to see them recently, right?
They were playing the Kelvin Grove Bandstand, which is an outdoor venue. Yes. And just before I left the house, I thought, I wonder if I should take that with me and see if I can get it signed. I wrote down on a post-it note that it was my all-time favourite song. Is there any chance they could sign it for me? Put it in a freezer bag. And then I decided when the song came on, I would just toss it on stage to see if anybody spotted it. Anyway, they didn't see it. They kept walking past it. Phil Oakey stood on it about 10 times. And there was quite a crowd of people standing down the front, and we were all sort of gasping every time he sort of stood on it. And eventually, a guy from Road Crew must have spotted it on the floor, and he ran on, took it, and he went off with it. And I thought, well, that's the last I've seen of that. True enough, the guy came back, and it was signed by all three of them.
Oh my gosh.
So it did work.
There are so many stories like this out there, and that is what we aim to get on, especially in the middle hour. That is a great example. So if you've not listened, listen back to the show on Rayo in the bottom right-hand corner of the app. Once you launch the Rayo app, in the bottom right-hand corner is a little search icon. If you pop the word spinning, no G, in there, you'll see Spinning the Decades, and you'll be able to listen again. And if you are listening to this and you have got a story, here's a plug. You can drop me an email. It's just steph@greatesitsradio.co.uk or vinyl@greatesitsradio.co.uk. So yeah, they both drop into my emails. So yeah, share your stories.
What is it about vinyl on the radio that you love so much, Steph?
Which is interesting. So the first hour of the show, there's lots of little features in there and some anniversaries and bits and pieces. And I'm playing things digitally, of course, like we do, from our system Zeta. For those radio nerds, that's what we use at Bauer. And then between 5 and 6, it's vinyl. And then I was listening back to the show, because anyone who is a broadcaster, you're a podcaster, whatever, listen back to your stuff. Athletes do this with their performance. And I'm like it with my work. I listen to absolutely everything that I do. Not with too much of a critical ear, but I go, I can do that better. Oh, that's good. I'm happy with that. That's really good. So I was listening to the show again, and you can just hear, soon as I play the first song, I'm so excited by the Pointer Sisters. It seems fatter and crunchier and louder because of vinyl. It's just the format. It's not that it's any better than the digital files that we play today, but it's just got a certain warmth to it. But I think as humans, we like things that are tangible. You know, it's part of the senses, the touch, the hear, the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you want to feel it. And the album art, the stunning album art.
Well, you were talking about that on socials, and it was a great post with the gatefold.
Yeah, that was the debut Diamond Dogs and the ABBA gatefold sleeve as well, where they're having a cheeky little kiss. And also Elton John's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Queen and News of the World is an incredible cover. There's all these wonderful album art, which you don't
used
really
to get posters,
yeah,
didn't
the posters
you?
That came with it. I remember getting Adam and the Ants and Kings of the Wild Frontier album, and there was a poster of Adam Ant, and that was on my bedroom wall when I was little. You don't seem to get that. You don't get that with downloads, but it's back, and I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's here to stay, vinyl. And being able to go and grab that from a record library, it's the chase, isn't it? You ask me for a song, I'll go and play it. I'll go and find it and put it on for you. And it's that, and it keeps me fit.
So you're literally chasing about during that
Literally. Someone asked for a song. Someone asked for Double Barrel by David Ansel Collins from 1971 on the Techniques record label, and a classic reggae song. And I was like, oh my word, I've got that. But I was thinking in my head, did I save that under D, Dave and Ansel Collins, or did I save it under Collins in the library? So I'm going in between getting up from where I'm sitting to the record library. I'm thinking, where is it? I'm like, Collins, it's got to be under Collins. So there's.
How do you, is it by artist or album name?
It's alphabeticalized. So they're all under artist name. So what I did is I followed the Guinness hit single, Paul Gambaccini's book. I followed the structure of the Guinness Hit Singles book. And that is how my library is set out. So it was straight down to the Collins, before Phil Collins. So it was
David Ansel Collins. So comes before there, and there it is. And there was the copy, and I was back in the studio within a few seconds. What you find, though, is the artist name with the most amount of singles attached to it is the letter S. There's more surnames or bands that start with the letter S than any other. The S artists run over like 6 or 7 shelves.
Really?
There's loads of them. So when in the early days, when they weren't alphabeticalized, trying to find something was all. I knew where the Shakin' Stevens bit was because I loved Shaky as a kid.
What came first for you, Steph? A love of music or a love of radio? Because you love playing, you love the music and you love playing it on the radio.
Yeah, I think a love of, an interest of music came first. My dad was in bands. He played guitar. He used to fix TVs for a living, but he was in bands. So I grew up around music. We had a very, very, very small record collection. There was some singles that my mum had from the 1960s. And then there was a copy of Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water, which I proudly took outside and put on the fence and went round it with a little small stone at the age of 4 or 5. Toddled off in the back garden with this album, and I've still got it. Some of it plays. I have played on previous vinyl shows that I've done and specials over the years. I have played something off it before, which is because that's the first piece of vinyl that I held, and I still own that. So my dad sat me down in front of our radio when Bohemian Rhapsody was on and said, "Listen to this." And that blew me away. That was the first thing I remember hearing. Then The Boxer, Simon and Garfunkel. Then my dad had War of the Worlds, Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds. That's an incredible album art, the gatefold cover on that, the booklet that comes with it. And then he had that on cassette. And then I saw Madness on TV singing Baggy Trousers. And I was like, I like that. And then I got a radio when I was 7 and a dog called Lassie. Birthday number 7 was quite a good one. I've still got my first radio and it's in my office here in my studio. It's on the windowsill and I look at it. And now I just feel so blessed and so lucky to be on Greatest Hits Radio and be part of a station that is just, it's phenomenal. And the success of Greatest Hits Radio and to be on that lineup is just, it's what dreams are made of. And I'm working with people who truly love radio.
And love music as well. Love and the music radio, it's got to go hand in hand, isn't it? I listened to the first show on Saturday afternoon, Steph, and we all know how much you love music, but you sounded like you were having the time of your life.
I genuinely was. I was just, it was a real thrill. There's nothing like those, we've all had those first show nerves. And I've been on air since I was 16 years old. And I remember listening, tuning around the dial and hearing great broadcasters. I remember loving Annie Nightingale's Request Show on Radio 1 straight after the chart. The chart would finish, the pips would come on, and then she'd play her first song. Just before they started singing on the song, she'd give a hi. And I was just listening for that every week. Wonderful broadcaster, sadly missed.
For all those years in broadcasting and all the different shows that you do, mostly on a Saturday, you sounded so excited and you made the music sound really fresh, and they were all familiar songs, but as I was listening I was thinking, it's banger after banger, these are great. It's the way you package it up, Steph. So I want to ask you, how can we keep, and how do you do it, keep radio fresh?
We can all play the same songs, but it's how you play them. I spent many years on breakfast shows, and we've all got the same records, but it's the meat that you put in the middle of the sandwich that makes that music, that bread, come alive. It's the whole package. So I always try and look for facts that people may not know about. Or there are some songs that are, there's lots known about those songs, and it's sometimes difficult to find new facts because these songs are legendary. And they've been, people have talked about them for many years. I mean, what is new to talk about? I'm a big Beatles fan, but I'm always looking for new Beatles information or something like that about a song. But I always try and make things come alive a little bit. And I want the audience to be as excited as I am about playing songs. Like this week in the show, I'm playing Sheryl Crow, Every Day is a Winding Road. I don't think I've played that on the radio since it was out. And I am so excited to play it. Genuinely, I'm really excited to play Sheryl Crow, Every Day is a Winding Road. Because it's a tune. And I always remember the little bongos at the beginning. There's a little guitar that goes, and it goes, it's got little bongos. And it kind of builds. I was doing a Drive Time show at the time when that was out. And I just remember playing it. I just loved that record. I know also Sheryl Crow is such a wonderful artist. You do hear All I Want to Do a lot, but she's done some incredible tunes. So we're playing that because one of the years that we're doing is 1997. Because in the last hour, we kind of take a journey around the world.
Tell us about that last hour and hits that we're familiar with, but you go around the world with them.
Yeah, so, you know, there's been number one hours on the radio for years. I remember being on a station in West Yorkshire doing number ones at one. But there's number ones all around the world. You know, there's charts all around the world. So what was number one this very day in 1984 in Sweden or maybe Ireland or the Netherlands or the then former West Germany or whatever? You know, there's so many different charts. Yeah. There may be a, I don't know, for instance, an album track by U2 that we didn't get as a single, but was a single in Ireland and was number one for weeks, but we didn't get it. It's just a chance to look at the world charts because we are playing the world's greatest hits from the world's greatest decades, which are, of course, the 70s, 80s and 90s. Those decades are. They are pretty special and they'll never be repeated. I love new music. You know, it's so incredible. At the Arias a couple of years ago, Olivia Dean performed for us at the Arias.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah. I remember seeing
and
her.
Now look at her.
Yeah. And
global superstar.
Yeah.
So, Grammy winning.
You know, and then to win four Brits the other week. So I love new music. I've always loved new music. I always listened, you know, late at night to John Peel and hearing Unsigned and bizarre stuff and all the rave stuff that he would play. And I go, not entirely sure that's on the right speed, but you know, you got it, didn't you? So I've always loved new music and new artists, but it's these great songs from, you know, the 70s, 80s and 90s that are part of our DNA. And then to play them, especially the ones from the 70s and 80s, to play them the way they were intended to be heard on vinyl is pretty special, you know. I filed all the singles away that I played on Saturday, but I've still not filed away New Order, Blue Monday.
Oh, I loved it when you played that because that got turned up.
Well, here it is. Here it is in the original.
I believe my exact words were, that is a banger, Steph.
In fact, if you look, can you see the cutouts on the sleeve?
Yeah.
The Peter Saville sleeve.
Oh, the sleeve that cost the fortune, why they didn't make any money. That was your fact around it. And I didn't know that. Loved it.
It pretty much funded the Hacienda. But this is the exact copy that I played on Saturday.
This is what I mean. You're playing classic tunes from 70s and 80s and 90s. You're playing them on an old format, vinyl, but you're making it sound so fresh.
Yeah, well, to me, it's not an old format. To me, it's a beautiful format. To me, analog is, there's a warmth to it. This is why I love tape. I'm a big fan of tape. Like, cassettes are making a massive comeback.
You know, there's a whole generation of people that don't understand the joy of having to get a pencil and wind the tape back.
What we're finding is the next generation coming through are loving vinyl. I love going in record stores. You know, you find it's 50-50. There's people who are older and there's a whole young generation. And to the next generation coming through, these songs are new. They're not old to them.
Yes, that's true.
They're discovering.
They're discovering for the first time. My son is. He'll suddenly sing a snatch or something and I'll go, how do you know that? And he'll know it from YouTube or he'll know it from a film or something. And I love that he's discovering this stuff for the first time.
Yeah.
Stuff that's so familiar to me.
And there's a real joy. And I'm always discovering stuff from years ago or songs. You know, I'm always delving into chart books or I'm listening to documentaries. I think by nature, I've never categorized myself as a music journalist because I don't write about music in that sense in the music press and music papers. But I'm fascinated by music. I've always enjoyed the stories that are attached to these incredible songs.
We've been talking a lot at the beginning of the year on the Audio Academy podcast, as we are now, about people and young people wanting to get into the industry.
Yeah.
Someone who's listening right now who wants to be on the radio, what's the one thing they should be doing right now, Steph?
Listening to as much radio as you can. If you want to work on a particular brand, listen to that. If you're a broadcaster, if you want to be on, say for instance, if you want to be on Kiss or you want to be on Hits Radio, listen to those stations and devour them as much as you can. And if you're going to send a demo and you need to stand out, you've got to be something. We've got to hear, oh gosh, there's some real talent there, but listen to the station. But listen to all sorts of different radio. I did. I tuned up and down the dial. I would say, listen to as much radio as you can and then start banging on doors going, can I come in and make some tea? And every time they say no, write again and write again and write again. And then you may not get a reply, but don't give up. Just keep writing, keep banging on the door, because we need the next generation coming through. Because I've always worried that the next generation just wants to be a YouTuber or wants to be a podcaster. Podcasts are amazing, but I think that we do need the next generation of broadcasters. So it's finding that talent. You have to want to do it. You can't just think, oh, it's something I'll do for a little bit. It's a vocation.
A big thank you to Stephanie for being on the podcast. Spinning the Decades is on Greatest Hits Radio every Saturday afternoon, 4 until 7 p.m. And it was great to get her thoughts on what aspiring presenters should be doing. Listening to radio and podcasts is the most important thing that you can do. Now, if you want more advice like Steph's from other leading industry professionals, then there's still time to book a place on our Foot in the Door Day tomorrow, 12th of March in Colchester at the University of Essex. Check out the page on our website for a list of guest speakers and training sessions and to book your ticket. audioacademy.org.uk. And if you're coming along, then I'll see you there. And next week's podcast will come from the Foot in the Door Day in Colchester, including chats with speakers and delegates. Make sure you subscribe and follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss it. And I'll see you next week.